Hey there, and welcome to the Mom Tana Podcast, your wild corner of the internet where I chat about birth, motherhood, and life in the mountains of Western Montana. I'm Chaya, your fellow Mom Tanan, and guide on this journey through the highs and lows of early parenthood within Big Sky Country. Each Tuesday, I'll cover pregnancy hacks, birth tips, herbalism in motherhood, and more. So grab your favorite hat and your favorite horse, and let's get into the beauty and chaos of Mom Tana living. All right, we're going to be talking about five ways to prevent preeclampsia. Yes, it is preventable. And you're not going to hear about that very much in allopathic or modern medicine spaces, but it's true. It is preventable in most cases. I might even say all cases, but, you know, we got to leave room for nuance when it comes to nature. Before we really get started, I want to let you guys know that I am currently nursing my baby, my 7-month-old, and he's noisy. So if you hear things in the background, it's him, and he's probably going to be falling asleep soon. So, just fair warning, I guess. All right, so what is preeclampsia? Real preeclampsia is a condition that can develop after about 20 weeks in pregnancy, and some early signs include hypertension, which is high blood pressure, proteinuria, which is protein in the urine, edema, which is swelling, and headaches and visual disturbances in later stages of preeclampsia. Those are a little bit more serious because they're kind of clearer indicators that this is really what's happening. But as with all of these, they are just pieces to a puzzle. And you might have one piece to a puzzle, you don't have a puzzle, right? You don't have a picture. So the more pieces to a puzzle you have, the bigger, better, clearer picture that you have. So just keep that in mind. Headaches are not cause for concern in and of themselves. Neither are each of these things. It's when you've got them all together and more that you might have a case of actual preeclampsia. But I'm not here to diagnose. And that's really something to discuss with yourself and whoever might be supporting you in your pregnancy. So go chat with them, look into that for yourself. And I do have research and citations and things, everything that I'm going to be talking about today. I've got references in the show notes. So go check those out for a deeper dive. It's also debated about whether preeclampsia is a dysfunction of the liver or the placenta. Yeah, they say it's inconclusive. Again, I am not here to try to diagnose that, and deeper dive information resources are available for you. But Dr. Tom Brewer has determined that the cause of preeclampsia is abnormal blood volume caused by malnutrition or food deficiency in pregnancy. So that's kind of where I hold my belief. I feel like that's been supported with not only anecdotal evidence, but actual, solid, well-respected evidence and studies. And so that's kind of, again, that's my belief about what preeclampsia is. It's actually abnormal blood volume caused by malnutrition. And so with that, way number one to prevent preeclampsia is eat more calories and protein. That's right, more calories, definitely more protein, but more calories. So it doesn't matter where you've started in your pregnancy, where your weight is, what your BMI is. It doesn't matter. When you're pregnant, you need to eat more calories and protein. So Dr. Brewer recommends 2,600 calories and 80 to 120 grams of protein daily. There's more on the Brewer diet, again, in the show notes. Definitely go check out the resources there. There's a whole diet and recommendations and things that support this, you know, optimal prenatal diet. So as a part of that, eat more choline, which is a nutrient found in egg yolks and liver. And if you are someone who eats kosher, definitely be very careful with liver. There's a particular way to prepare it if that's what you're going to be eating. So I recommend, you know, go ask your rabbi or a wise Jewish person who eats kosher and see what tips and tricks they have for making liver kosher for eating. Lily Nichols, in her book, Real Food for Pregnancy, says that eating more choline improves vascular function of the placenta and mitigates some of the pathological antecedents of preeclampsia. So that, again, references citations in the show notes, but I thought that that was a pretty powerful statement and wanted to include it here. Way number two, eat more salt. Add more salt. Salt to taste. Needs more cowbell. Okay, so some bad advice that I've heard before, and my own sister was told this, and my own mother, I love you, Mom, but it's bad advice. People are told to reduce their salt intake, that swelling is because you're, you know, retaining more fluid, and so you need to eat less salt and things like that. No, bad advice. Actually, it's the opposite. You need to eat more salt. And reduced salt, let me read this quote from Lily Nichols. Studies on pregnant women show that a low salt diet neither prevents nor controls preeclampsia. In fact, it actually can make it worse. So there you have it. We need salt to keep our fluids balanced in our body. We are made up of, I don't know, people, what, 70% water, something like that. But we also are salty. We're real salty over here. But, you know, have you ever tasted your own tears? How dramatic, right? But they're salty, right? Or you got kind of a stuffy nose, a little snotty, it's salty, right? So that's because as humans, we need salt as a part of our diet. And without it, when we're reducing it, we're actually causing more problems for ourselves. So this is a big one as well in preventing preeclampsia. Add more salt, salt to taste. And good quality salt too, might I add, mineral salt, sea salt, Himalayan salt. Make sure it's good quality and not overly processed and overly refined and things like that. So make sure you're sourcing reliably. Okay, way number three. Hydrate. Oh my gosh. And that kind of goes hand in hand with what I was just talking about. So in pregnancy, we're generating more toxins. We're working harder. Our bodies are working harder. We could be sitting down for like our whole pregnancy. Not ideal. Definitely don't do that. But we could be, and our bodies are still working really hard. We are also needing to build more blood volume, and supplying amniotic fluid and all of this. These are all things that we need to be hydrated for. And, so this is a big part of supporting our body in all the work that it's doing in pregnancy. So that also means that we need to get electrolytes. It's not just about drinking water, just pure water, naked water. Is better than nothing, but if you can, you know, sprinkle a little bit of salt in there. Get electrolytes from reliable electrolyte sources. One of my favorite and very easy things to do is to get a little bit of lemon, or maybe even like cucumber slices and things like that. Just squeeze some lemon in your water, add a teeny tiny pinch of salt, and ta-da, you've got good electrolytes, bioavailable, all this good stuff. And your water is actually going to be better absorbed by your body now that you've got those electrolytes. And that's, again, a big part of hydrating. Some helpful herbs and foods and things that can make hydrating more easy and less boring, maybe. Nettle and dandelion are really great hydrating herbs for tea. They're herbal diuretics with minerals. So it's kind of like they're, you know, doing double, triple, quadruple duty for your body and what it needs. And diuretics, that kind of has a bad rap. So diuretics make you pee more, basically. But what that does for you is it flushes out toxins more. You're getting rid of toxins that are building up in your kidneys, right? And flushing those out of your body more quickly, more readily. And one of the things that these plants do that is different from other diuretics, like man-made diuretics or whatever, but these herbs support you by putting minerals back into your body. So dandelion especially is one of these, and we'll talk more about dandelion in later episodes. So nettle and dandelion, they are herbal diuretics, flushing out your body from toxins, making you pee more. But they're also replacing some of the things that you might be flushing out by peeing more, replacing those minerals, because of the types of herbs that they are, and they're helping you hydrate. And so just keep drinking those teas. It's good. Another way to get hydrated, in a less boring way, is to drink milk. We're talking fats, proteins, minerals, you know, all this good stuff all in one, and it is hydrating your body. So raw milk, ideally, whole fat milk for sure. The less processed that your milk can be, the better it will be for your body. So I'll just leave it at that. Bone broths is another one. Again, hydration, minerals, fats, lots of good nutrients, good stuff. And another one that's not thought of as frequently is watery fruits. Yes, fruit and food can hydrate you. So melons, like watermelon, hello, watermelon. Watermelon is like another power fruit, power food for pregnancy. But lots of different melons also have that same type of capability. Cucumber, berries, things like that. So those are all good ways to hydrate, fun, interesting ways to hydrate, and then you're not just drinking boring water or just boring salt water. You are freedom-loving, nature-trusting, and spiritually grounded, and you're looking for a skilled birth attendant who shares your values. With today's politics making birth overly medicalized and invasively regulated, finding the support you want feels out of reach. I offer holistic birth services tailored to your unique needs and family journey. By becoming a member and choosing a support level, you can curate your own experience without the fight or controlling oversight. Just go to momtana.org or check out the show notes for details. Okay, way number four, stress less. Lily Nichols says, stress and anxiety are known contributors to both high blood pressure and preeclampsia. She also says mindfulness practices can effectively lower anxiety symptoms by half or more. Remember references in the show notes to those actual scientific studies that are supporting that. But stressing less, I mean, we know, don't we know that stress causes high blood pressure and all kinds of things? Stress actually causes us to be less able to absorb the nutrients we're eating. Stress is just not good. There's lots of reasons why stress is not healthy. And so stressing less is definitely one way to prevent preeclampsia. It's such a big topic that I'm actually not going to get into it more here, but I believe this will be a topic of a future episode, so stay tuned for that. And the last but not least, fifth way to prevent preeclampsia is to move your body. Lily Nichols says moderate exercise may help prevent preeclampsia. Again, that's like a very kind of plain statement that she, you know, conclusion she made from the studies that she was researching. But the fact remains that this is true. So moving your body, we talked about, you know, getting toxins out of our body and fun fact, preeclampsia in the past has been called toxemia. So if you're looking at old things, you know, herbalists or different texts and things where they're talking about toxemia, that is preeclampsia and eclampsia. So this is something that my grandmother has mentioned in her pregnancy experiences, is having toxemia. So just know that those are one and the same. But part of that, what I'm wanting to correlate there is the toxic part of that word toxemia, And they didn't know a ton about it then, but now, you know, we understand that an abnormal blood volume and the paired with the overload of work that your body's doing, we are taking on more toxins and things like that in pregnancy. And so if we're not doing what we can, aside from eating more calories, all of that, if we're not supporting our bodies, additionally by releasing those toxins, by flushing out those toxins from our bodies, then we're, you know, compounding the problem basically. So moving our body does release toxins. It flushes out toxins through sweat and gets our bodies moving, our lymph moving, and things like that. Again, this is just another way to prevent preeclampsia. So just quick recap, we've got number one, eat more calories and protein. Dr. Brewer says 2,600 calories and 80 to 120 grams of protein daily. Number two, add more salt. Needs more cowbell. Number three, hydrate. Four, stress less. And five, move your body. So that pretty much concludes our brief on 5 ways to prevent preeclampsia. For deeper dives into anything I've mentioned, make sure to check out the show notes. And for anything that I sort of brushed over, we will likely, I can almost guarantee it, be covering those topics in future episodes. So stay tuned for those. And thanks for taking the time to listen to me ramble about this a little bit. I'll see you next time. Thanks for joining me here. Remember to subscribe, write a review, and check out the show notes for other ways to connect. Nothing on this podcast is medical or legal advice. By engaging with this content, you agree to take full responsibility for your own experiences. Everything in this podcast is property of Prudence Ministries, a private healing association.